Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Give God the honor of the reading of the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore I say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, but ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Holy Spirit of God, I beg you tonight, as we look into the Word of God again, it'd be a help and an encouragement and a blessing. Lord, we love you. We are amazed what you do for us and what you did for us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help us now, Lord God, to realize how important it is that we would live for you. Lord, no one in this world would ever do what you did. And that we thank you for. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning we're talking about the change in our lives when a person receives Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. There's a dramatic change. There's a instantaneous change. Unfortunately, we still have the soul. Man is what they call a trichotomist. He's a trichotomy. He has body, soul, and spirit. And when mankind was created, God breathed in the man and began a living soul. The Spirit of God was upon him. But when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, the spirit died within him. And no longer could he get to the tree of life. He had to abandon that idea. And mankind, because of that, has died. That's why I lost my dear friend on Friday. He died. He is gone. I'll never be able to talk to him again until I get to heaven. It's a finality. It's something that's excruciating. I know that Bonnie Schleck last on the 28th, her husband, December a year ago, passed away. And I called her and I said, "How you doing?" She said, "I'm sure lonely." And that's what death does to us. Death makes us lonely. Death is final. You can't talk to him anymore. I say this many times at funerals. I said that death is the greatest enemy to mankind. And because of that, we no longer can tell our loved one, our dad or our mother, our brother, our sister, or our grandchildren, we love them. We can no longer hold them in our arms and caress them. We no longer can be able to not only to speak to them, but they speak to us, which is so important to us. And so death is an enemy. Death is the greatest enemy known to mankind. And so mankind, when he died literally, God said, "You will surely die." Well, he died. His spirit died within him. And he was just a soul in a body. Then when the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the earth, the Holy Spirit was promised to us that when we accept Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit come and live within us. And we are made alive. Now, I know I'm not going to get into all the doctrine about the Old Testament saints and the New Testament believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and he was Messiah coming. He was saved. He had a place. But when Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." There's already Abraham's bosom. I don't understand too much about that. You remember Jesus talking to Jesus giving the account of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man looked up out of hell and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And so there are different places of heaven that we don't understand. There's paradise, and then there's the heaven that Jesus Christ brought. And then the Bible said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And old things are going to be burnt and passed away. And what a wonderful thought about that is, there'll be no remembrance anymore. It'll be all gone. Anything that you've ever done, anything you ever said, there'll be no record of that any longer as he gives us new heaven and earth. I know some of this stuff is kind of like mind-boggling too, but it's cool. You sit down and talk with me. I'll be more than happy to talk to you 3 or 4 weeks on it. And it's an incredible thing about what heaven is. Well, anyway, death is a terrible thing. And death takes away our loved ones, takes away our friends. And some people think it's a good thing, takes away our enemies. But anyway, the scripture talks about here now. It's talking about the Christian. Christian has three things going on in him. One, he has his body. One, he has his soul. And one, he has his spirit. I heard a guy give a doctoral dissertation on the Spirit of God. He said the Spirit of God is in all, it's waiting on all of us. It's kind of like on a furnace. It's kind of like a pilot light. It's just sitting there. And then when a person accepts Christ, someone turns that, the Holy Spirit turns it on, amen, and then you got full heat, amen. It's kind of a weary illustration, but it's an idea that, you know, all of us can be saved. Jesus said, I would that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. Amen? Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that people get saved? I'm glad. I get so excited when I read about Paul the Apostle, what a rascal he was, what a mean, detestable, racist, you name it, he was it. But he got saved. He saw the light. He saw Christ on the road to Damascus, and his whole life changed. He completely turned about face. And I'm thrilled to tell you tonight that all of us can have the same salvation that Paul the Apostle had, because Jesus said he is no respecter of person. If you want it. If you want that kind of salvation, you can have it. I was explaining to Donnell today about there are certain kind of people, you know, the Jesus talked about the sowers out sowing seeds. Some fell on the hard ground, the headlands, and Satan came down and plucked it up. And then there are some that fell on the shallow ground, and it grew a little bit, but there was rocks underneath it, and it couldn't go to its full potential, and it just withered. And then there are some that went into this area, and it grew up, but along with thorns and thistles, and they choked it out. And then there are some that grew up in the good ground. Ladies and gentlemen, as I've studied that, I believe that it's our choice of what we want to do with God's Word. It's not that we are predestined to be the stony ground and the ground of weeds. It's my desire that I would serve God the greatest potential that I can have. And I encourage you this new year that you would go and try to get to the good ground, and that you'd grow up and flourish and do great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You only got a few years to prove yourself down on here and earth. Only a few years. And you'll be absolutely body and present with the Lord. So may I encourage you to do right. Let's look at the scripture here in verse 17. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ. If any man. I love that. That's like, for God so loved the world that whosoever. That gives us, everybody is on, this morning in Sunday school I was telling about that we're all on the cross. We're all on even ground. There's not, some people are better, some people worse. We're on all even ground. We all have the choices. You say, but preacher, we have circumstance coming. Oh, yeah, I know that. But we all have the same choice, and God does not, he is not against one person, against another. He gives everybody the same choice. And if you have the same, choice as anybody else, live for God. So, the phrase, if any man be in Christ, means he is united with Christ by faith. He's in Christ. As Christ illustrated in the Gospel of John, I talked about this morning, about being a branch of that great grape plant. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Christ was the vine, so the branches, being united to the vine, derives all the nourishment and support from the main plant and sustains it entirely by the main vein or the main vine. John chapter 15, verse 2, every branch in me, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye except ye abide in me. You can't do it by yourself. You can't raise your children by yourself. Or somebody says it takes a village. No, it takes God. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The only way you're going to raise the children is to raise them through God. And I'll tell you what, then you got a problem. They have what? They have a free will. They can do whatever they want to either. And that's why you need to, like the old man said, boy, my boy went down the wrong tracks. He said, I should have switched him soon enough. Sooner, he might switch. But anyway, to be in Christ donates a more tender and close reunion. It implies that all of our support is from Him. So when we do something and it's good, that's from God. All our strength is delivered from Him. It denotes further that we are partakers of, get this, His fullness, and share His joy and share His glory. This is not just something that happens. God said, hey, hang on, get in there, get a hold of my vine, be part of that. And I will nourish you and I will prosper you. But not only that, what I get, you're going to get. To me, that's an amazing thing. God said, what I got, it's what you get. By the way, here's the most amazing thing that I've ever thought about. My grandmother passed away and she gave me they give you stuff after they die?
Inheritance.
My grandmother gave me an inheritance. And that was nice. Something I didn't work for, something I didn't deserve. But my grandmother gave me inheritance. In fact, the Bible said inheritance, the true inheritance is this. It's not for your children, it's for your children's children. The inheritance to go to your children's children. You ought to practice that. Amen. I've seen a lot of families that grew up in church and did great works in church, and their children turn out to be drug addicts and prostitutes and everything else, and they take all that money that they had gained and everything and give it over to those kids. They go out and burn it and smoke it up and drink it up, and it's gone. Don't forget your church when you're doing an inheritance. Someone has fed you. Someone has taught you. Someone has loved you. Someone has done things that your family can't do for you. Take care of your church. I want to encourage you to take care of your church. Make sure you take care of your church. The inheritance. A family one time, the kids were just, they're hellions. I mean, you can't explain it. They were just hellions. And they took their, when their mom and dad died, they were so happy to get that money, they took it and it was gone within a year. How sad. How sad. At least give 10% of your inheritance. It denotes further that we partake of His fullness and His joy. And here's what I'm getting on the inheritance. God's inheritance, Jesus Christ's inheritance, He says that we're His and we will be part of that inheritance. How many of you would like to live in a home debt-free? How many of you like to live in a home that is so perfectly made that there's nothing wrong with it? All the appliances work. How many would like to have a home that you didn't have to pay taxes on? How'd you like to have land that you didn't have to pay taxes on? How'd you like a home that you didn't have to turn the lights on? Lights are always on. Well, let me tell you something. You're going to inherit a place in heaven that you'll have no want of food because it'll all be there. You'll have no want of heat. It'll always be warm. You'll have no want of water because it'll be always there. You'll have no wants in heaven. The only want you do will want to glorify the Heavenly Father more and more. What a deal. When you walk up to a person, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them that how He will save them and how that He will give them a life everlasting, and they bow their head to Jesus Christ right there and confess Jesus Christ as their Savior and invite and ask for forgiveness of their sins and invite Him to come into heart, they have no idea everything comes with. The story is told about a little urchin boy that was down in England, and he was just scratching around trying something to eat. This wealthy businessman came beside him and said, "Son, what you doing?" He said, "I'm just looking for something to eat." He said, "You want something to eat?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Who's your mama?" She said, "She died." "Who's your daddy?" "Oh, my daddy died." "Well, do you have any family?" "No, they're all dead." "Well, how'd you like to come home to my house and have dinner tonight?" Little boy said, "I'll come any place. I'm starving." Walked up to the door. And a man opened the door. And a man says, "Sir, who is this urchin?" He said, "He's come to dinner today." He said, "You fix the fine." And I'm telling you, they fixed everything that little boy could eat. His belly about popped, he meant. And he said, "Now, son, where do you stay?" He said, "I stay in a corner. There's a grate there that has heat coming up from a store." He said, "Son, how would you like to stay at my house?" He said, "Well, that'd be nice." And he had a servant take that boy up to the room and said, "Now, son, it'd probably be a good idea if you all take a bath. And here's things to clean yourself with, and I'll stand outside. And when you're done, you just holler at me, and I'll come get you." And he said, And while he's doing that, the man sent another guy out to get some clothes for the kid. Oh, my goodness. The story goes on to tell you about the little boy that they put him in his big bedroom, and it was warm in there, great big comforters and pillows and a nice little chair, and that little boy curled up in the chair and huddled like that. And the head man said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Man, I can't sleep there. I think I'll sleep here." Son, you can sleep in that bed. It looked like the bed of a prince. The little boy the next morning came down crying. He said, "This is a dream." He says, "I know you want me to leave." And the man said, "Son, if you'd like to, I'd like to make you my son." And that little boy got down on his knees and grabbed him by the ankles and wept. He said, "Nobody, sir, nobody's ever loved me this much as my mom and daddy." Guess what? He became a son. You know, that's exactly what salvation's all about. But you know what? When somebody gets something, we also want to be very careful that we don't take advantage of what we get. There's a lot of people that if you gave them something, they just expect it all the time. But a true Christian, when he gets saved, he understands that he is saved from hell and destruction. He understands that he'll never be alone. He understands that there's a God in heaven that says, "Hey, I want you to come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in a time of need. I want you to come and pray to me. I want you to adore me. I want you to worship me. I want you..." Hey, don't you think it'd just be kind of more than right to pay back what the Lord Jesus... I know you and I can't pay back, but at least show some respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. When God tells, He says, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." This Bible's full of commandments. There's so many people today that their life is so tied up in themselves, they couldn't even come to church Sunday night. There, something else is more important to them than coming to church on Sunday night. Am I saying, you've heard me say, are you kidding me? This is a time where to come to fellowship. When you don't come, I don't get to fellowship with you. When you don't come, you don't get to hear what the Holy Spirit has for you tonight. You will lose that for all eternity for not getting the thing that God wanted you to get tonight. I told Donnell today, I said, I don't know why I preached that sermon. Donnell just got saved in down Mississippi. And he come back up here, and he said, man, that was for me. And I said, I scratched my head. All week, I scratched my head. Why am I preaching this thing for? And he says, boy, I needed that. You know what? I need this. I need to be reminded of what God has done for me, how God has loved me so much, how the Almighty God of heaven would come down to this earth and live in this earth and die, allow to die for our sins and for His blood to shed for us. It is an amazing thing. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, but He loves us. So He goes on to say, He said, listen, you are the partaker of my fullness. You get to share my joys and my glory. Hey, how about it? We're up in heaven, right? We're up in heaven. We know we're going to be up in heaven for 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, Satan is going to be cast in the bottomless pit of hell. I don't know about you, but I'm going to shout glory hallelujah with Brother Rudy. Man, I'm going to get excited about that. No more of that junk that he keeps putting in my face every day. No more of the ploys of Satan and his games that he tried to play with me. Do you know what else? No more time that I have to spend in confessing my sin in prayer. I'm going to experience the joy. Hey, get this. For 1,000 years, the millennium, they call it, for 1,000 years, it is going to be like the Garden of Eden. You and I will not be there. We will be with Christ. I think that we'll be just kind of looking around. And then He's going to have us. Get this now. We are going to rule over those people for 1,000 years. I hope we have a next door, brother.
Amen.
We'll have coffee in the morning. Amen. But it's going to be a fantastic, for 1,000 years, we are going to rule over the children of Israel. At the end of the 1,000 years, the Bible said Satan is going to be loosed. And there's going to be another war, and it's going to be an aerial war. It's going to be so quick and so fast, it's over. And then God says He's going to bring the new heaven. He's going to have a judgment seat of Christ. I mean, the great white throne judgment where He'll judge all those that have gone against God, gone against Christ. And they'll be judged, and then we'll be cast in hell forever. And then He is going to give us a new heaven and the new earth, for the former things are passed away. Don't tell me that's not going to be an exciting time. Don't tell me that's not going to be a threat. We are going to have the joys of heaven. We enjoy the rigor. We also enjoy the rigor of that vine. That vine that we are attached to never dies. It's always there for us. We're the one that detaches. He doesn't detach us. We're the one that detaches us. The affirmation of this universal, if any man, that is, all who become true Christians should undergo such a change in their view and a change in their feelings, as it makes it proper to say, that man, that girl, is a new creature. When a person gets saved, the world should be able to know it. No matter what they were, or how they acted before, or what they did before, moral, immoral, infidel, or thoughtful believer, whatever, amiable or debased, sensual or polluted, if they became a Christian, they will experience such a change as to make it proper to say, they are a new creature. That person is really different. I remember my mama used to say, boy, he's really, really saved. Her used to say that all the time. Boy, he's really, really saved. Listen, we ought to be really, I'm talking to the congregation of Heritage Baptist Church. We ought to be different. Our mindset, our thoughts, our homes, our language, our being, where we go, what we say, what we think, ought to be different. There ought to be a change. You can't keep just going down the way you are and living like a slob. And I mean moral slob. We ought to be ethical people. I talked to a fellow the other day and he said, what should I do about it? I said, pay for it. He said, but put that on coffee. I said, pay for it. You broke it, fix it. Be ethical. There's so many unethical Christians. If you get something, pay for it. Well, that something happened. I don't know how it happened, but I found out that a bill wasn't paid. Just flip me out. We pay our bills at Heritage Baptist Church. Listen, we ought to be ethical. There's a saying that says, these are people you don't want to give to. Preachers, plumbers, or painters. They're the worst people to give a loan to. That flat out flips my wig, brother. If you're a man of God, you better pay your bills. If you're a man of God, you better take advantage of people. Because you're the person that people are supposed to look up to say, hey, by the way, remember the story a long time ago, not the story, but the account of Jimmy Baker? And he had Praise the Lord Enterprises or whatever, and he had the Praise the Lord World Park, like Disney World, whatever. And he absconded millions of dollars from people, good people. And that went to court. And when it went to court, they gave him the maximum. You know why they gave him the maximum? Because people trusted him. There was more trust put in that man than a regular man that walks down the street. We at Heritage Baptist Church ought to pay our bills. Amen. We ought to be very careful about that. We as Christians at Heritage Baptist Church ought to pay our bills. I want to be honest in our department. And if you can't pay it, you go to them and say, I can't pay it, but I'm going to pay it. And I'll do everything I can. If I have to get another job or two jobs or three jobs, I will pay that bill. That's just being part of Christ. That's what happens when a man gets saved. Oh, well. I don't know if you know this or not, but a guy named Dr. Cal Streeter had a guy working for him that was his financer. And the financer cheated him and took some stuff. And when it all came apart, the IRS came at my cousin, Cal Streeter. And the only way he could get through that was to file chapter, I think, 13. Did you know what Cal Streeter did? He went to every person. And by the way, during that time, he had promised Heritage Baptist Church $5,000 so that we could get our billing here. Guess what? Heritage Baptist Church got $5,000. I didn't know he was going through that. He paid every person back, every penny, and interest for what it cost them when he had to go, when he got back on his feet. What do you think of that kind of guy? You say, well, I like that. Yeah, you like that, especially if he owed you money, right? That's the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to take advantage of people. We're Christian. Is there anything impossible to God? You say, but preacher, you don't understand how much money I got. Hey, you go to God and you fall on face there, dear God, I don't want to be a bad testimony in your name. I don't want to have a bad name in my community. Lord God, you help me here. Will he help you? A million times. Man is a new creature. He will, in fact, live that way, manifest the characteristic of a new creation. The phrase new creature occurs in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. The word rendered creature means properly in the New Testament creation. Secondly, let's look at the mode or the manner of which is done. This is one of those things in the Bible that we see through the glass darkly. For God does not describe it to us very, very openly. But the phrase implies evidently the following thing. There is an exertion of divine power in the conversion of a sinner. As there is the reality act of creating the universe and all that pertain to it out of nothing. We get the word in the Old Testament, exilio. Exilio has this idea of creating something out of nothing. Now, most of us went away to college, and when we were in science or when we were in biology or whatever, we know that nothing can be created out of nothing. And there has to be some kind of carbon. There has to be something that you can create something from. But God says, no, this earth is created out of nothing. What does the Bible say? God spoke, and it was. So in reading the Old Testament, the creation account, the Hebrew root ex nihilo is used and translated having the meaning out of nothing. It is indispensable in the case of creation as it is creating us as a salvation. That a change is so pronounced, so great, to make it proper to say, that man is a new man. He has new views, new motives, new principles, new objects and plans of life, new purpose. He lives for a new end. That's Christianity. That's salvation. Case in point, Jesus entered in the pass through Jericho, and there was a guy named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican. He was rich, the Bible said, and Jesus said he was going to pass that way, and he climbed up in a little sycamore tree. You all heard that story, amen? And he said, hey, I'm going to your house. Make haste, I'm going to your house. Have dinner with you. And of course, you remember when they saw it, they all murmured and said, he's going to go to a man's house as a publican or a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I gave to the poor. And if I have taken anything that any man may fall by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. That was a Jew. You know he got saved. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to your house. What had happened when he met Jesus? His whole life, his whole attitude completely turned. Has that happened in your life? Or are you just going to go down the slide, just sliding, instead of having a trait of a Christian? Are you going to serve God, and are you going to be an embarrassment to him? The way you act, the way you talk, the way you take advantage of people. If a drunkard comes to Christ, he quits his drinking, and there's no problem saying that, hey, that guy's a new man. The man was lascivious, and he become pure. And nothing wrong saying about that man. It's not the same man as he was before. We like those kind of men, amen. We like those testimonies. We like those beautiful glimpses of heaven. There's a change so deep, so clear, so entire, so abiding, and it's proper to say, here is a new creation in God, a work of divine power, decided and glorious as when God created the world out of nothing. Ha, ha. What happened to you? I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone. His name was Bobby Pyle. And Bobby Pyle and I were pretty good buddies back in high school, back in the elementary school. And I kind of lost track of him and stopped going running with the crowd he was running. I was running with the athletes. And Bobby Pyle said to me the other day, he says, boy, sure, you sure turned out to be something I'd never dream of. Bobby, that's the difference. Something happened to me. God got a hold of my life. God changed my attitude about life. Hey, that's salvation. If you don't have that, there's something wrong. Either, as Paul said, you seared your heart, you just got cold, you become indifferent, you don't give a flip, you don't care. You don't care if the world goes to hell. Long as you're fed, long as you've got a nice car, long as you've got a roof over your head, long as your kids are not sick, hey, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Because a Christian, he's different. There's a change in his heart. Hey, don't let 2015 go by like 2014. There'll be a change in your heart and your life. I'm not living that way anymore. I'm not living there anymore. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to say those things like you used to say. I'm going to be very careful how I and my deportment for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I represent Heritage Baptist Church. I represent Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Which really is the most important thing, but we say our church because church represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's nothing like it. There is so much propriety and respect and decency and good manners and quality of being and socially appropriate behavior inscribing to the power of the mighty God. There's nothing like it. Wow, he's really a Christian. Oh, that's what a Christian is. See, where I grew up, Christians, the word Christian didn't really, you know. We had deacons in our church that, I'm sorry, they weren't faithful. They weren't soul winners. They didn't help their pastor. They weren't hurting my pastor. I'm talking against him. He had something ready to do, and boy, this is exciting. And they go, pastor after pastor after pastor left our church because of that. That's not Christianity. Good night. Are you kidding me? Why did God put you in a pastor? So he can lead you to guide you and say, hey, let's do it. But there's people that call themselves Christians that are not Christians. They may have Christ in the heart, but they don't reveal it. They're just kind of running on. They're just idling. Bless God, I want mine 104%. I want throttle up. I want the wheels up. My uncle used to get at me. He said, those are not wheels. I said, what are they? An aircraft. What do you call them? Landing gear. Sheldon knows our landing gear. They're not wheels up. I said, well, everybody understands why I say wheels up. I want wheels up. I want full throttle. I want cranking. I want to feel the G's. Hey, I want to serve God. I want to go out of this world saying, you know what? Old Shear, he may have been an old guy, but boy, he sure loved God. He never slowed up. Man, he just kept going. I want you to do the same thing. Okay. Hey, that Sunday school class you got, you ought to double that Sunday school class. Instead of piddling around on Saturday, go out soul winning for about an hour and a half. Go out and see your Sunday school kids. Thursday night, stop and see some of those kids. You say, but pastor, all those kids are from my church. Did you know I never got a call from anybody as I was a kid came to my house as a Sunday school teacher? I encourage you. You ought to say, you know what? Hey, I'm gonna have a thing during the week. I'm gonna have during the year. I'm gonna have some. Boy, these are some things I want to have set up. It won't hurt you. It'll help you. What are you doing it for? Put it on your. What are you on the Air Force? You write down. I did this and did that. What APR? No. No, I won't put it on my APR. I'll tell you a real funny one. There's a guy. He's a firefighter. You wouldn't know him. It happened a long time ago. We're building another church. I see him come one Sunday. I mean, one Monday night. And he just kind of looked around and watched. Later, he gets an award. And they read his APR. He helped roof Heritage Baptist Church. Not bad in 2 hours, huh? Wow. He stayed for pizza. Be honest. What are you doing it for? You doing it for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or are you doing it for yourself? What are you doing? What are you really doing? What's it all about? Old things have passed away. Paul had given this general form of expression in the old things, the general things that I used to do, referring to everything, have passed away. I don't do that anymore. It was true. All who are converted, that old things had passed away. And it may include the following things in regard to the Jews. They're prejudiced. They're racist against the Christians. Their national pride. Their spirit of seducing others. Their attachment to the rites and ceremonies. That their dependency was only on what they did for salvation and not Jesus Christ. That passed away. Some of them had a hard time with it. Peter sure had a hard time with it. Paul said, I was stood him to the face. He knows better than that. Now they are depending on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's a gift to God, not of works, as any man should boast. For we are His workmen, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. They renounced their dependence on themselves, really what they did, and relied on the merits of their Savior. They embraced all the brethren that were in the family of Christ. All the brethren. Red and yellow, black and white. They embraced them all. That's true Christianity. In regard to the Gentiles, their attachment of idols, their love of sin, degradation, their dependence on their own works had passed away. They had renounced all these things and they had come to mingle their hope with those that converted from Judaism. And with all those, they became friends because of the Redeemer. When a man gets saved, his prejudices are gone. Shame on them, people. Shame on us. Shame on us. A Christian is a Christian is a Christian. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you've invited Him to come in your heart and ask Him to forgive your sins, you are my brother. We are level at the cross. There's no difference. Male, female. There's no difference. Their former prejudice, opinion, habits, attachment passed away. Their supreme love of self passed away. The love of sin passed away. The love of the world passed away. Their supreme attachment to their earthly friends rather than God passed away. Their love of sin, sensuality, pride, vanity, levity, ambition. Paul said, when a man gets saved, it passes away. All things pass away. There's a deep and radical change on all these subjects, a change which commences at the new birth and ends at death. Behold, all things have become new. That is, all things in view of their mind, their purposes in their life, their feelings of their heart, their principles of action, they become new. The understanding is concentrated to new objects. The body is employed in new service. The heart forms new attachment. Nothing can be more strikingly deceptive of the fact that a person, when he says he gets saved, this is striking. He doesn't change. That's wrong. You are to change. Nothing is more entirely accord with the feelings of a newborn soul is that he is new. And there is a new view of God. There's a new view of Jesus Christ. There's a new view of the world around him, a new view of truth, new view of duty. Everything is seen as a new aspect and new feelings. Nothing is more common in young converts than such a feeling. Nothing is more common for them to say, all things are new. The Bible seems to be a new book. And though they may have read it over and over again, it is new to them. It is alive. There's a beauty about it which they never saw before. And they wonder why they have never perceived that. I'll tell you why. They didn't have Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, living in their hearts and life that sets them alive. The whole face of nature seemed to be changed. Seemed to be they're living in a new world. The hills, the vales, the mountains, the streams, the sun, the stars, the groves, the forests seem to be all new. Why? It's all theirs now. A new beauty is spread about them. They see them as being the works of God, not the idea of evolution. And then it just happened to happen. But a God spoke, and it was so. And His glory spread all over them, and they can now say, my Father made them all. The heaven and the earth is filled with new wonders, and all the things seem to speak forth, to praise God in it. Amen. Even the very countenance of friends seem to be new. And there are new feelings towards all men. A new kind of love and kindred of friendship. A love before unfelt for enemies. And a new love for all mankind. That's the difference. When a guy gets really, really saved, there's a change. It's a litmus test. You need to test it. See, am I changed? Or do I have all these bitter feelings? Or do I have these things that should not be in my mind? Do I enjoy being with the world more than enjoy being with the church? Do I enjoy serving myself instead of serving others and serving God? Christmas will sure show that off. Well, I didn't get what I wanted. Instead of, I found out she wanted something, I gave it to her. And made her happy. This is what I did for my church. This is what I did for, that's what it's all about. Folks, have a different life in 2015. Don't keep going down that old road. The Bible said that old road leads to destruction. And a fool is deceived thereby. On and on we go. Some of you won't pick up this Bible till next Sunday. Some of you won't drop to your knees and say, God, I need your help. There's no way I can get through this thing without your help. Then there are others say, well, just another day. You ever notice how many days you just keep going on and on and on and on and on? Hey, right on top of your prayer list the day that you prayed, use that prayer list. And next time you're going to pray, get that prayer list out and see the date on it. Challenge you. Father, I pray you'd help us live more like you. We are so indifferent so many times. Our hearts are so seared, we just keep going on day after day, just like a snowball coming off a mountain. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There's no stopping. It just keeps going. God, help us to stop. Help us look up to heaven and say, dear God, I can't do this anymore by myself. You've got to help me. You've got to empower me. You've got to strengthen me. You've got to turn my life around. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. Boy, my life is a miserable, miserable thing. Preacher, will you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Would somebody just stop this train? Let me get off. I can't do this anymore. Let's all stand.
You're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven.
But I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come? Let me have a word of prayer with you up here. You're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I need to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. You're not going to say, Preacher, there's just some things that are going on in my life. And I just feel like that snowball you're talking about, just keeping going down and faster, just getting faster. And hey, will somebody please stop this thing? I'm on a train. It just seems like that train won't stop. Hey, I don't want to live like that. That's not what God called me to do. I want to serve the Lord. I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, you know, Lord, there are just some things in my life I've just got to stop right now. I need your help, God. You know what? The Bible says He will not get after you if you ask Him. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in the time of need. He says, come on home, son. Daughter, come home. Are you right with God? That's the main thing. That's it. Are you right with God? In the eyes of God tonight, in their pure eyes, how you doing? Is that the way we want to keep living in this old world? I think not. You have to make a choice in your life. If you don't make a choice, you'll keep doing what you've been doing all the rest of your life. And someday you're gonna be laying on that old deathbed of yours, and you're taking your last breath and said, "Oh my, oh I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd been more faithful. I wish I'd been more helpful." That's what Christ is. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's others. Others, Lord, yes, others. This my motto be. Now, Father in heaven, we thank you for what you've given to us. Dear God, I pray this message that was preached tonight that would change our lives. We would get a hold of something here and just say, you know what? I'm tired of the way I've been. I'm tired of the way I'm walking. I'm tired of the way I'm doing nothing. God, just help me in my life that I'd walk close to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to have a baptistry here, baptism. Sing a song, book 107.